Good morning, friends and brethren. It's very good to see you this morning. I was kind of expecting a small crowd today because we have got a number of folks that are away. And yet I think our visitors overcome those who are gone. It's good to see each of you here. I have a lesson that's kind of dependent on a PowerPoint today. And PowerPoint just works better from down here than it does up there. So that's one reason I'm down here, and I thought it would be a small crowd, but I'm glad it's not. Glad to see you all here. When I was in grade school, it was Mrs. Morey who impressed my young mind with the joys of Thanksgiving. Mrs. Morey was my favorite teacher in grade school. I had her for 2 years. But it's because second and third grade was better. See, you already thought. It's because second and third grade was together, so I had her for second and third grade, which was fine. I would have loved to have had her all the way through school because she was just very nice and she was very sweet. And I learned some things that have just stuck with me for a long time. And Thanksgiving was a very special time to her. And the stories that she told us about Thanksgiving were just interesting and very special. Thanksgiving was kind of the dateline of the official end of fall and beginning of winter to me. At least in Michigan, by the time Thanksgiving came along, the leaves and the fall colors were long gone. And to look around, it very much often looked like winter. Sometimes already was snow on the ground, even as this weekend in some places in Michigan is that way. But in Mrs. Morey's class at this time of year, there'd be plenty of fun associated with Thanksgiving. Everything to do with pumpkins, it seems. There was pumpkin drawing and pumpkin carving and pumpkin pie. I didn't like pumpkin pie until Mrs. Morey introduced that. And it's still a favorite of mine today. But there was some serious study, too. Mrs. Morey was an older teacher, and she spoke with great authority about the pilgrims. So much so that I was quite sure that she came over on the boat with him. And she would talk about the pilgrims and their hardships and really helped us, I think, to understand that there were some things that we had to be thankful for. And that just like those first pilgrims that came over, though they faced some incredible difficulties and hardships, they found that there was a lot to be thankful for. And so with Thanksgiving, there was an importance placed on purpose, I guess you would say, and learning to count your blessings. And so she had the ability to cause all of us to think and to find something to be thankful for, whether wealthy or poor. She helped us all to see that we were very rich. And as we begin this week, I would imagine that there are many of us who are looking forward to days out of school or maybe some days off work and at days filled with visions of turkey stuffed with dressing and football games and time to be with friends and loved ones. And these are all good things. These are all some things that we can be very grateful for. But have you ever taken time to just sit down and make a list of all the other things that you have to be thankful for? You know, I actually started doing that the last couple of weeks. And realized pretty quick that I couldn't tell you all of the things that I'm thankful for. We wouldn't have the time to do that. And you really do have to just stop and take the time to count your blessings. And if you're like me, if you set your mind to that task, you'll find that you have a whole lot to be thankful for, blessings beyond measure. And I want to share with you today just a few things that I am very thankful for. Well, I'm thankful for life. You know, that's maybe something kind of simple, something we take for granted. I'm just thankful for life because it is by the hand of God that, in fact, life is given. By His creative powers, life has come into being. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Sometimes we have to just think about where we came from and the role and the purpose that God even had in that. God had a purpose in His creation, and He has always had a plan for his creation. Ours to choose the direction of life, for sure, but life's plan is from God. Because God thought of us even before we were, and that Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and your hope are in God. That's the way Peter penned it, as he was trying to remind Christians just like us of the blessings that we have in Christ, and that this was God's plan. It always was. Even before the foundation of the world, God had a plan for us. And the very fact that we know life is a blessing from God. But to understand his will for his creation introduces us to incredible blessing. The blessings that come through Christ. Well, earth has a timeline, so to speak. It's a defined timeline. That is, it doesn't go on forever. Not this life, at least. It does not. This life will end. And even if we are blessed to live a long time, you know, in reality, earthly life is still very short. Now, the psalmist penned it this way. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Really, if we even live in this life to be 100, and we think sometime how old somebody is that's lived to 100, in view of eternity, what is that? It's but just a little while. But life continues, though. Life continues after an earthly death for those who are living in the Lord. Now, that's something that is indefinite. A loving God will meet us on the other side. That is part of that life plan that God has set in place. And once again, I find reason to be thankful for life. For life that I'm living now, and especially for life that is to come. As I was thinking about some things, I realized how thankful I am for health. I've been so blessed in these ways. I, like everyone else, have had some days where I've not felt good, and I've had some issues at times where I've been sick, and even some operations along the way. But overall, my health has been so good, and I'm just so blessed in that way. We all have some health setbacks, but I'm grateful for the health that I enjoy. You know, good health is not something that's necessarily promised, but it is a blessing to be thankful for when it is received. Because some struggle in this life with health issues, seemingly problems that there's cannot get over and will not get over in some cases in this life. But Scripture reminds us of many who were lame or those who met physical difficulties. If we in this life find ourselves dealing with physical infirmities, we're not alone. But Scripture tells us about those others, many others who suffered great pain and were lame perhaps or had physical difficulties. My mind goes to Job and some of the infirmities that he suffered with. He suffered with great pains for reasons that he could not even control. Or the Apostle Paul, who preached and endured physical infirmities. Sometimes we all face physical difficulties. But when our health is improved and when it's better, we have every reason to rejoice in that and to be grateful and give thanks to God. But in a bigger picture, it's nice to know, it's wonderful to know the blessing that we have that is promised by God to those who are his people, a life that is free from physical difficulties. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. There is life that's promised to those who would choose to be the people of God, where we don't have the physical infirmities that we might struggle with and deal with in this life. And I'm thankful for that, especially. I'm thankful for my family. In this regard, I have been exceptionally blessed beyond what I deserve. I am thankful for parents who demonstrated a concern for godly matters. Parents who drew lines and boundaries that I did not always appreciate. I didn't enjoy, but they were for my benefit, and I understand that more now. Parents who helped me to understand the need and the importance of God's Word. Parents who brought me up in the training and admonition of the Lord. I'm thankful for that. I am so thankful for a godly wife. What a blessing. It was Solomon who said, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." The favor that He has bestowed me is more than I can explain and more than I can express. I am thankful that I have a wife that sees my strengths and my weaknesses, but loves me anyway. A woman who exemplifies the character of a virtuous woman. Solomon said this, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." Indeed, that's so. A godly wife is a special blessing for a man, and no earthly blessing can be greater than that. I'm thankful for my children. Children, seemingly, who've grown to adulthood and who have married and who have turned out well in spite of me. I still find this to be amazing. Truly, children are intended to be a blessing. The psalmist said this, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is a man who has his quiver full of them." Children, indeed, are a blessing to men. And I'm so thankful for the joy that my children have brought me and continue to bring to me. And I'm thankful that my girls have sought out wise choices in life. That brings special reason for thankfulness. It brought incredible joy when, as teenagers, they decided to put on Christ and to walk with Him. Though the influences of school and community that were around would have wanted it differently, they made good choices. The choice to follow Christ was their own, and it was one of the first major decisions that they had to make in life that was made without the approval of their parents. It was their decision. They had to make that choice, a decision that they have held to by their own conviction. I am so thankful that our daughters have married godly men. Men that are like our sons. Men who love the Lord and who put the Lord first. What more can you pray for your children? But that they have faith and they marry in the faith. And they grow in faith. And to now have sons that know God and stand for what is good and what is right and lead their families that way. What a blessing it is. Know that our sons understand what it is to be godly husbands. Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with
the washing of water by the word. Ephesians 5, verses 23 through 26. Godly men that will help our girls keep an eye on heaven and live that cause. And I'm just thankful that they have demonstrated true devotion to God and have made life decisions based on their conviction. And when we hope again for the future of our children, those who are raising children, we cannot truly hope for anything better than that they find a true partner in faith. For grandchildren, I'm thankful. It is a special joy indeed that has been introduced into our lives with these little ones. Solomon said, "Children's children are the crown of old men." There's a lot of truth in that. That grandchildren are like a crown on the head, and it's true that you're old when you have them. There's that truth too, I guess. But these grandchildren, they exemplify life and joy and energy and innocence, all traits that we would do well to notice and to have. And we are reminded that Jesus called the children into his presence and announced that we should be like them. And I've always found this to be an interesting passage. The text would say in Matthew 18, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" Some of us a little older now, and perhaps more perceptive than when we had our own children at home, we might even appreciate to a greater degree the point that Jesus was making. The blessing of innocence in these little ones. That innocence being something that we need to learn from. And even as we watch some of the little ones around here, we see the wonder in their eyes. And before they've become old enough to be afflicted with some of the issues of the world, we can't help but see the innocence that is within them. A pure mind that is not bogged down with the meanness of the world, that can only see the best in people, a heart that is willing to listen to the lessons that come from God, and how we need to be like that. I'm thankful for grandchildren. I'm thankful for my brethren. In this spiritual journey of faith, God has not left us alone, but has given us a means of help and strength. And when it seems at times that the world is against us, and when there are few who truly walk with us, we have those who can sympathize with our struggles to walk in a godly life in an ungodly world. There are those of faith, our brethren, that understand those issues and walk with us. And you can't help but wonder at times, what would we do without our brethren? These men and women from whom we find great strength, those who can lift our heart. Paul loved those who had been such a blessing to him. And in particular, to the brethren at Philippi, with whom he was very close, he said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy, just as it is right for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. It's interesting to see the relationship that he had with those of such like precious faith. And the relationship that we have with each other. And how thankful I am for brethren. You know, from a worldly perspective, it's not so hard to find those of like mind. It's not that it's easy in the world to find those of like mind. But it's hard to find true companions in faith. Those who are just focused on things above. To consider what Paul said to the brethren in Rome, he said, "For I long to see you, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." There's something about that mutual faith. You know, and I find strength from that mutual faith that we share as brethren. From those who have been Christians for a long time to those who are just getting a taste of godly living. I find strength, I find encouragement, and I thank you, and you are a blessing to me. My faith is at times encouraged and increased by older members. Those who demonstrate contentment in godly living and find comfort while counting the years that have already passed. And I'm thankful for those who have reason for confidence. They encourage me. The Apostle Paul said something as his life was coming nearer to an end. With confidence and contentment, he said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing." Older members are a blessing to us, and I'm thankful. And then there are those who might be a new brother or sister in Christ. I'm lifted up when there is one who makes a good confession of faith and puts on Christ in baptism. It's a day of rejoicing for all. And it's always exciting when God's word has touched the hearts of wayward men and it's had its effect. The gospel has the ability and the power to have tremendous effect and make tremendous change in the hearts of men. And it's always exciting to see that. In Antioch, there was the preaching of the word that took place. And the result of that preaching of the word is that there were those who believed and there were those who were baptized. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned to the Lord. And the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. That's exciting. It's exciting when you read about it in the New Testament. It's exciting today when that happens even among us. And it strengthens my faith when I see others who are added to the Lord, those who become of like precious faith, those who are added just like the first believers in Acts chapter 2. Again, by the preaching of the word has the power to convict the heart. And when those believed and they repented of their sins and were baptized into Christ, they were added to the church. Again, a day of rejoicing. And I'm thankful for brethren who are old and who are young. Those brethren with children who are actively teaching them about God. Those that battle daily with the challenges of child rearing, trying to teach godly principles in an ungodly world, making it a priority to always exhibit before them zeal for God in daily living, and who become an example for their children of what godliness is all about, an example that teaches more than words, For parents who see the importance of providing association with God's people as a matter of something, their own faith and building faith in their children, the importance of doing that. Parents who have their children a part of the assemblies on every available occasion because of our need of worshiping God and teaching our children these things. Parents who see the value of Bible teaching, both in the assembly and at home. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. I'm so thankful for godly parents that are teaching their children, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm thankful for the young adults that we have among us who have made a choice to set God first in their lives. Young people who are not content to live by the standard set by the world, but instead intent on setting themselves apart from that. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. So the psalmist said. And so we take even to our hearts, and to young people who have made that kind of commitment and choice. I am so thankful. And I'm thankful for youth who have voiced pleasure in the words of God, and who see the power and the value of what God says. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your enemies. I will not forget your word. For young people so set on living by the will of God, I am so thankful. I'm thankful for young people who bring, for young children who bring a special joy to our assemblies, who are anxious to come and see us after class and tell us about their class or show us what they did in class or maybe sing us a song that they have learned in class. I'm thankful they are here and learning valuable lessons about reverent worship to God. And I'm thankful for them. And I'm thankful for their enthusiasm and for their voices that sometimes can be heard above the singing of all. And I'm thankful for brethren who love the lost, for those who do not lose sight of the need of presenting God's word, for those who make every effort to engage friends and strangers alike in conversation about salvation that comes through Jesus, who are not afraid to go everywhere preaching the word. And I'm thankful for brethren who encourage and lift up, for those who seemingly always have the right words to say, who have kind words to say and work at helping lift up others in faith. Those who have the practiced ability of building up in faith and seem to know when we need it the most. Those who understand what it means for every one of us to do our part. Every part does its share. Causes growth for the body of the edifying of itself in love. Those who have the ability to encourage and build up and strengthen the church. I am thankful for brethren who love each other, for brothers and sisters who demonstrate that concern by being patient with each other, by being tender-hearted. The apostle wrote, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you." Those who are busy serving the needs of brethren, I'm thankful. And even as I look over this assembly, I find the most precious blessings in my life. There are so many things to be thankful for. Most of my list had to be put to the side. I couldn't cover them all. And when you stop and you think about what we have in this life and how God has blessed us, the physical things that we have and enjoy, well, it is a blessing to be thankful for. But the blessings that we have in Christ, the church that Jesus died for, the hope of an infinite life when this one is no more. So much to be thankful for. The matter of greatest consequence, I am thankful for the hope after death. The blessing that is found only in Jesus. The sacrifice of God. Remembering that the same one who gives us life has also determined that this life will come to an end. This life was never meant to last forever, and sometimes we struggle with that. And particularly when death is faced. When there's a young person that dies, we just can't understand and we can't believe. But death will come to those who are young and old. And even sometimes when someone who is old dies, we still struggle. Why is this right? And how can this be? But we're reminded once again that this life was never meant to be infinite. This life was never meant to go on forever, but God has given forever. He has promised life forever, life beyond the blessings that come in Christ. And that those who live and walk with him can find eternity with God in heaven. For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The greatest blessing. The greatest blessing of all, that we can put on Christ, that we can be counted as one of his own, that we can be sons of God. I am thankful. Do you have that to be thankful for? And what I mean is, have you made such a choice? Have you made decisions in your life to follow the Lord, to live for him, to be convicted and converted by the word of God in such a way that you would want more than anything to be the children of God? And have you responded in kind by becoming a child of God? If you are subject to the call of Jesus Christ, would you come today as we stand?